The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Darm Daf Samach Tes. The Gemara on this Amud discusses the following question. What's the halacha if the husband says to his wife, I'm being Mekayim the Neder today, and I am being Mefer tomorrow. For today the Neder is going to be standing. Tomorrow the nether will be abolished. What will be the halacha tomorrow? Do we say that the fact that he established and strengthened the nether today prevents him from abolishing it tomorrow? Or do we say that since he already said today that tomorrow it's going to be abolished, mufar, the halacha will be that it will take effect tomorrow? So the Achronim discussed, based on this Gemara, the following question. The Achronim ask on the Gemara that we know that there's a halacha in the Torah that's called kalsa. When a person makes a kinyan, when a person accomplishes a financial transaction, the halacha is that the action that he took to accomplish that financial transaction has to be around at the time of the completion of that transaction. For example, if a person were to say that he wants to sell his field to his friend tomorrow, and he writes up a contract saying that the field will be sold tomorrow, and between today and tomorrow the contract gets destroyed, it's ripped up or burnt up or otherwise destroyed, the halacha will be that that sale will not be completed tomorrow because the action that he did, the writing of the contract, is no longer extant tomorrow. The action has already disappeared. That's the halacha that's called kalsa. When a person is trying to accomplish a kinyan, the maisa that he does to accomplish the kinyan has to still be around at the time of what's called the chalois of the kinyan. When it comes to kinyan kesef, when a person executes the transaction using the money passing from one person to another, in that case, the halacha would be that the transaction which was intended to be completed in the future would work, even though the person is not actually handing over the money to the other person at the day of the consummation of the transaction. The reason for that is because since he gave him the money, it's considered, even if the money is not around anymore, it's considered as though the money is around, because if a transaction will not be consummated, the person who accepted the money would have to return it to the person who gave the money, so it's considered that the shibud of the money, what the money accomplishes, is still extant tomorrow when the transaction is supposed to be consummated. So the Ran asks a question in the Nedarim, in the fourth parak on the Nedarim. He asks the following question. The Gemara over there says that when a person says that something should become hektish after 30 days, it becomes hektish after 30 days. Ask the Ran, since we see that there's a concept called kalsa, that the action which is accomplishing the reaction of the chalois has to be around at the time of the consummation of the chalois, so we should run into that problem when a person creates hektish after 30 days, that problem should stop this hektish from working, should prevent the hektish from working. Why? Because since the words are what accomplishes this chalois of hektish, the fact that he declared the item to be hektish, those words themselves accomplish this chalois, and the item, because of those words, becomes hektish. So since the words are no longer around at the time that he wants the hektish to be chal, at the time that he wants the hektish to take effect, the halacha should be that the chalois of the hektish should not work. So why is it that the Gemara assumes that the hektish will take effect after 30 days, despite the fact that the words which are being used to accomplish the hektish are no longer around? So the Ran answers that the reason for this is because amirasei legavoya kimsiras lahedyet. When a person declares something to be hektish, it's as though he handed it over actively into the possession of hektish. Therefore, just like when we're dealing with two people, and one person hands an item over to another person, so even though we said that the chalois should only take effect after 30 days, the chalois of the financial of the transferring of ownership should only take effect after 30 days, nevertheless, the that transfer takes effect because the item is still in the second person's possession at the end of 30 days. So too, when a person declares something hektish, it's as though he actively handed it over to the control of hektish, and therefore, when 30 days comes, it's as though hektish still has control over it, and it's as though the action that he took to accomplish this halois is still around. That's what the Ran answers. So the Achrayim ask a question. Since we know that there's an opinion in the Rishonim that holds that nedarim, when a person makes a neder, it's not considered as though it has the power of amirasal gavaya kimsirasal hagid. When a person declares something to be tzaka, or a person declares something to be hefker, or a person declares something to be asr because of a neder, that doesn't have the strength of amirasal gavaya kimsirasal hagid, we would not consider that to be as though he actively transferred the object into the control of hektish. So how could our Gemara say that when a person declares something to be a neder to be mufar tomorrow, why would that hafara take effect? Let's say that he had not made the hakama today. The Gemara asks the question, if you make a hakama today and then you declare it to be mufar tomorrow, what's the halacha? The Gemara's question is only because he declared it to be mekuyim today. Had the person never declared it to be mekuyim today, he had only declared it to be mufar tomorrow, it sounds in the Gemara that that wouldn't be a question. The Gemara asked that question on the next amud, but that's only because the fact that he was not mekayim today should be stand in the place of a kiyum of the nether. But if there were no kiyum of the nether to discuss, we wouldn't have a standalone problem of kalsa, the fact that the words that he's using to accomplish the abolishment of the nether are no longer extant when the person wants the abolishment of the nether to take effect. This is what Rabbi Kivager asks. Rabbi Kivager offers the following answer. This is brought down in the Tshuvas of Rabbi Kivager as a footnote from his son, that he heard it from his father. Rabbi Kivager says that perhaps we can view the idea of abolishing a nether tomorrow differently than the way we have been viewing the general concept of accomplishing a halois at a future date. When a person tries to accomplish a halois at a future date, the idea is that a person is accomplishing a blanket halois, but he's not accomplishing that halois today, he's accomplishing that tomorrow. He's doing an action today and he wants that action to consummate the halois tomorrow. However, when it comes to a neder, or when it comes to hafara of a neder, the person's intention is not that today he's doing the action of hafara and tomorrow that hafara will take effect. That's not what the person is trying to do. What the person is trying to do is he's trying to say that the enjoyment of today remains prohibited, but the enjoyment of tomorrow is permitted. That means today I'm consummating the chalois. Today the chalois will take effect, and today the enjoyment, the actions of enjoyment of tomorrow will already be permitted. The chalois of the hafara is already taking effect today, but the chalois of the hafara only applies to the enjoyment that you're going to have from the objects which you assert through the neder. The enjoyments of tomorrow, the actions of enjoyment of or eating or whatever else is under discussion over here. Let's say a person made a neder that they're not going to eat something, so the husband in effect will be declaring that an action of eating today is still prohibited. An action of eating tomorrow is permitted even today. That's how Rabbi Kivager answers the question. There's another answer to the question, which Amir Zashem I will be discussing in tomorrow's shir. Today, I wanted to compare this to a concept that we find in the Achronim when it comes to financial transactions. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that there's a concept called giving a present, acharecha. What does that mean? Let's say a person decides that he wants to give a present to Reuven, that Reuven should enjoy it his entire life. However, the person does not want Reuven's children to inherit that present after Reuven dies. So the person says, the present should go to Reuven, and after Reuven is not around anymore, that present should go to Shimon. Nechotzai l'Reuven, v'achrov l'Shimon. The Gemara says that that works. A person is able to accomplish that kind of matana, that while Reuven is alive, the item will belong to him. As soon as Reuven passes on, the ownership of the item will immediately transfer automatically over to Shimon. asks the Nesivos, how is this possible? We know that there's a halacha called Kalsa, the idea that we were discussing earlier in the shir. So while it's true that had the giver handed a shtar to Shimon, the second person, and the shtar was still around after Reuven died, okay, then we could say that this kind of transaction would work, because the present that he gave to Reuven only continues during Reuven's lifetime. As soon as Reuven dies, that present is nullified, and then he will be accomplishing another transaction of giving the item to Shimon through the shtar, which is still around at the time of Reuven's death. However, if the shtar is already ripped up, this kind of transaction should not work, because true, the present to Reuven was limited to duration of Reuven's lifetime. However, the present of Shimon has no way of working, because just like if had I never given it to Reuven, I had only given it to Shimon, we would say that the present can only take effect if the shtar is still around at the time of that you want the chalois of the matana to take place, namely the time of Reuven's death. But if the shtar was not around, that transaction would not be able to take effect. Why would it be any better if you first gave it to Reuven and then you gave it to Shimon? Certainly over there, we would say that if the shtar was not around at the time of Reuven's death, that the matana would not take effect. So too argues the Nesivos, that if the giver, the Noisin HaMatana, had passed on also before Reuven's death, the matana should also not take effect, because since we need to be accomplishing this transaction later on at the time of Reuven's death, we should also have to have not only that the shtar should be around, we should also need that the giver should still be alive, the person who's giving the matana should still be alive at the time of Reuven's death, in order to be able to consider it that he's able to that he's accomplishing this transaction later on at the time of Reuven's death. This is what the Nesivos says, and the Nesivos holds that this is the halacha l'maisa. The only exception to the second part of this rule, that the giver has to still be alive, is only in the case of a shchivmra, somebody who's giving a present when he's in fear of imminent death. When a person is on his deathbed, the halacha is that a present that he gives can take effect after his death. So in that case, the giver does not have to be around. But the first part of the the first part of the halacha would not apply either, because we know that the halacha is that matna shchivmra k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, that when a shchivmra, somebody who's on his deathbed, gives a present, he does not have to do an action of kinyan. His words themselves will accomplish the kinyan, and they can accomplish the kinyan even though they're taking effect at a later date. So the exception to this rule will be a shchivmra, but a healthy person who tried to accomplish such a transaction of giving something to Reuven, and then when Reuven dies, it should pass on to Shimon, we would need two ingredients. We would need to have, first of all, that the action of the kinyan would still be extant at the time of Reuven's death, and number two, we would need to have that the person who's giving the present, should also be alive at the time of Shimon's death. There are some achrayim that want to argue on this argument of the Nesivos, and they say that just like we found in this Rukve Eger, that there's a way around, there's a loophole that we can find to get around this issue of Kalsa. Rukve Eger said that by neder, a person is able to say that I'm accomplishing the chalois of the hafara today for the enjoyment of tomorrow. So Rav Shimon makes the same kind of argument, Rav Shimon Shkop makes the same kind of argument when it comes to acharecha. It's a little bit more of a stretch over there, but he makes the same type of argument. He says that it's possible to view a present tomorrow in two types of ways. You could view a present tomorrow as saying that I'm doing the action of giving it today, but the chalois will only take place tomorrow. Or you could say that the item today belongs to this guy. The item tomorrow, the item of tomorrow, so to speak, belongs to Shimon. So today I'm accomplishing the transaction with Shimon, and I'm saying that the usage of the item tomorrow, already today, belongs to Shimon. A similar type of argument that Rav Eger used by Neder, which is a little bit more understandable, he tries to apply to the idea of a matana also.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.